so need that body ministry that we've just had. We're different people, thank you. We're different people, get up and share. And the songs and the music and the worship and somebody praying, somebody interpreting, messaging tongues. We so need all that body ministry. I want to really encourage you, those of you who have shared this morning, and for others that haven't shared yet, ask God to be part of that body ministry. Because I benefited so much by what one of them just shared, because it's really confirmed my word. This week, it got to about Tuesday and I didn't have anything to say. And I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to give me something to say this week. I've normally got ideas, I've normally got things I'm mulling over, I've normally got stuff, but Tuesday I had nothing. So I said, oh Lord, come on, start to give me stuff. And the first thing that I got was this title, Are You Ready for Change? Are you ready for change? I said, okay, Lord. We've got a title. So then I prayed. I prayed for another 24 hours. And then I sat down and started to write stuff. So this morning I'm going to share about the Sermon on the Mount. So the Beatitudes. Matthew 5. So time-wise, this is, Jesus has already been baptized by John. So he's had his dunking in the river. And this is after that, a few chapters later. And he went up to the mountain, possibly Capernaum in Israel, and he sat down like the rabbis did. Whenever they were teaching the rabbis, they sat down and people would join them. So he took the disciples with him and other people were with him. So the Beatitudes, when you want to read it afterwards, they're in Matthew 5 and they're in Luke 6. And I'm going to go through the first three. But I've got other things to share with you this morning, which have just been confirmed by people sharing. Initially, most of you know about the Ten Commandments. Moses went up Mount Sinai, came down with the Ten Commandments. And so, to give this some context, these words are from Jesus' lips. This is what he said. And they're almost like ways to live in the New Testament. So the Sermon on the Mount is really important. Our laws, the Old Testament, has shaped all our current laws, all the stuff that we live by every day. People won't realise that, but they have. But Jesus was saying, this is what I want from you as Christians. This is how I want people to live. Each one starts with the word blessed, which comes from the root word mak. And makarios is the experience of sins forgiven. So that's kind of the language that we're talking of. And it's reference to a special joy. So blessed means a special joy. So I was thinking, right, what's a special joy? So we've got our normal joy, haven't we, Christians? Who's got the normal joy? We've all got that, haven't we? Sometimes it doesn't show on here, but it's in here. Right, so imagine your normal joy. This is extra joy. So I was thinking, family wedding. Things that really, really make you excited. Someone graduating. My best friend graduated last week. 7 years to get a doctorate. 7 years of studying. And she's got a doctorate. Luke, Lisa's son, graduated. And they're special occasions, the one-off things. And it's really exciting. And there's that extra a joy of a child coming into your family. Extra special things. So it's saying, blessed, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is slide one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So the first thing you think of is, that doesn't sound very happy, does it? Happy if you're poor in spirit, happy if you're mourning. And you just think, that doesn't seem to marry up, but I'm going to just unpick it a little bit for you. It almost seems a contradiction. What it means is, I'm going to look at each verse. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. when we are poor in spirit, in a situation where we're struggling, in a situation where we don't know what the answers are, it draws us to God. When you've got problems with your children, or problems in your marriage, or problems in the home, or trying to find a home, or it might be that you haven't got enough resources. When we're like that, the first place we need to go to is God. And when we're like that, there's less of us, and there's more room for God and his rule. I used to know someone who had answers for everything. They were dead confident. Everything was great. Everything was wonderful. Whenever you listened to them, you just heard that they got it all together all the time. And then something happened in their life where they made a choice and it didn't work out. And it's awful to say, but at that time, that person was lovely. And what I mean by that is they were ready to, they were humble, they were quieter, they were more, they'd realised they'd made a mistake and they had to rebuild something that was broken. And in that time, I found it easier to be with them, because the other times, it kind of didn't match up to reality for me. But when things had gone wrong, I found it easier to be with that person. Sometimes you have to be poor inside to find out who God is. Sometimes we have to be near the bottom of the pile to find out who God is. Sometimes things have to go wrong for us to find out who God is. And that's what that means. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, we often say this to people when they've lost someone. This is a verse that we use. You'll be comforted because you're mourning. And the Holy Spirit will comfort when people mourn. And he will sustain, and he will help people with the deep pain of loss. The verse in this context, though, really isn't about grief. But it's the sadness of things that have happened to us, or the sadness of where we've done things wrong, our past choices we've made and mistakes. That's the context of this verse. And there's a verse in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 and it says, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in a spiritual death. That's quite a heavy verse, and I'm going to help break it down. Godly sorrow inspires hope. When we make silly choices in life, or bad choices in life, there's hope. No one's ever written off. God's grace is sufficient, it tells us in the Bible. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, there is change and hope. Becoming a Christian gives us a change in our heart, whereas the other sorrow pulls people down, and it extinguishes hope and persuades us to give up. You can see that in life. And what I want to say this morning, if at any point in your life you've made some bad choices, and people don't live lives without making bad choices. They don't. Okay, you're not living if you don't make bad choices. People make bad choices. It's all part of life. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. We mess up. But what God's saying there is, in salvation, there is hope. In salvation, because of what Jesus did, none of us are ever written off. The sorrow that people carry around sometimes, and this is who we'll mix with a lot, is sorrow that pulls them down. Suicides are at the highest amongst young males, we know that, and we've known that for a very long time. We've had the situation of coming out of COVID, and we know that things are happening to people, and some people are in a bad place. But in Jesus, there's hope. With Jesus, we don't give up. And we've got that good news to tell people. When people are unhappy and they don't know where to turn to, then we've got to say to them, and I said this the other week, and it's the same word today that I'm sharing again, so it must need saying today, look up. And tell that person to look up. Tell that person when they don't have any hope or don't know what to do, look up. We've heard this morning, God is aware of everyone's personal needs. God is aware of every detail. God knows you inside out, back to front, better than any person on this earth. God knows you. The next verse is verse 5, which I'm going to stay in for a little bit, because there's not a lot talked about this. Happy are the meek. Meek is not weak, okay? If you've heard the word somebody's meek, you might think they're weak, but they're not. And this is what I want us to attain to, Christians. Meekness is a controlled strength and discipline with tiny, 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 tiny ego. Do you meet those people who've got big egos? Do any of you listen to people who've got a big ego? Sometimes you can work with people and they go, I've done this, I've done that. I'm not kidding you, honestly. When I hear people like that, my lips are shut. And inside I'm thinking, oh my word. I find it really struggle to say I really, really do. When I go for an interview, I go, we did this, we did that, we did the other. So the night before I have to go in front of a mirror, I did this, I did that. So I can get ready for the interview, because otherwise it sounds like half a dozen people behind me have done what I've done, because I'm just not that kind of person, and it makes me cringe. So you've got to have tiny, tiny egos. The great thing about us when we come to God is he gives us a heart change. Inside here, he changes us. And it really does affect the outside living. And it, as I said a few weeks ago, it is how God intended us to live. I can't express enough how God wants you to live a life with him, how he intended you to live. Just try and get a hold of that. God wants you to live a life that he intended you to live. Does it look like the life that you live in? It's a really hard question, that, but does it look like the life you live in? Now, what you'll say to me is, but Sue, I've got this, and Sue, I've got that, and Sue, I've got this, and I'll go, yeah. Okay, are you talking to God about it? Are you talking to God about that situation? Are you asking him to help you? Because every one of us in this room has got situations. Every one of us. I had a day last week where I really felt overwhelmed. I really felt overwhelmed, which is unusual for me, I have to say. I don't feel overwhelmed that often, thankfully. I felt really overwhelmed. I had a day where I just thought, got that much to do, God, which way's up? Really did. That's what I prayed. I said, God, I've got that much to do, which way's up? Can you help me? And he did. Being humble and having humility is important, because it was pride that caused the fall of man. As soon as we think we've got it together, as soon as we think we're doing okay, as soon as we think we're better than someone else, oh my word, watch out. Pride. You know, when we do stuff wrong, it affects us both physically, emotionally, and mentally, and it causes us pain. But the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that he came to take that pain. And it was finished on the cross. When Jesus said, it is finished, it was finished. Christians, we need to be meek. That'll stop us from being harsh with others. Christians, we can't judge. And some of us will have to unpick that, because at times in our Christian life, it's been really hard not to judge. We can't judge because it says in God's word, if I judge, then I'll be judged in the same way. Don't judge. Ask God to remind you of the good things he's done in your own life now, what you're doing now in your day-to-day life. Thank him for what he's doing, but thank him for what he's done. Thank him for your family. Thank him for your husband. Thank him for your wife. Thank you for your health. Thank him for... Because our focus sometimes cannot be on any of these things, but actually on the things that aren't right. And we need to be thankful for what he's done. Ask him to remind you, if you're struggling, ask him to remind you what he's done. And use your tongue to speak good things and pray for those areas in your life where you need change. If God had dealt with me as he should, there'd have been nothing left of me. I'm sure that's the same for you. But his grace, he's so good to us, and he doesn't treat us as he should. He's very gentle with us, caring for us, graceful. When you're meek, you're a good listener. Are you a good listener? Not offering solutions immediately, but giving the time for the person to speak and listen. Do you think the best of others? And Christians, please don't come to conclusions about people. We're so quick to think about things. And bring everything before him. Bring everything before him. Pray and get his mind and thoughts on what is going on. So in those situations in your life, ask God, what's going on, Lord? What can I do about my son, Lord? What can I do about this? And you need God to help you with those things because you'll get the best solutions. The best solutions I've ever had are when I got an issue and I think, I just sit down and I might say to God, God, I don't know what to do here. What do I do about this in my family, Lord? And God starts to give me thoughts about what I need to do. God starts to give me thoughts about what to do at work. God starts to give me solutions about a particular situation. You don't get them if you don't ask. You've really, really got to ask God. So a meek person thinks the best of others. In your relationships, look for meekness. If you're feisty, you'll have feisty friends. Do you know that? If you're a bit wild, your friends will be wild. Do you know that? If you're looking for a good friendship, the qualities that Jesus is talking about here, meekness, that's a good friend because they'll be calm. They'll look out for you. It's very important about who you spend time with. And as some of us are getting older, one of the things that as I was praying about this, your world can get smaller. I want to tell you this morning, push back. Keep your world as large as you can. Your relationships, push back and try and keep your world larger. Because as you get older, your world becomes smaller. It doesn't have to. And look for those people with meekness. Look for those people with these qualities. It's not easy, but remember, God is always working for your good, as we were reminded this morning, through difficult times. Jesus, he went through being betrayed by Judas. And then he went before Pilate. He knew God's plans and he prayed. And Matthew 11, he said, 29, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. What an amazing Father God we have. How amazing was Jesus at this point to have gone through all that, to have been betrayed, humiliated in front of Pilate to then say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. We're not born meek. We have our own will. We have our own temper and temperament. So you might be saying to me this morning, how do I get meekness? How do I get to be meek? It's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural quality that God develops as you walk with him daily, as he changes you from the inside. You learn from him, and by reading my Bible, which I've left on my seat, but I was going to hold it up, because the Holy Spirit cannot remind you of words in the Bible if you've not read them. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit cannot remind you of words in the Bible if you have not read them. You need to read his word. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 29. Jesus said, this was quite strong, this, when I was praying about this word. So I've tried to break it down a bit. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Udi, for sharing that. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So, on the second slide, please. This is what a yoke used to look like when Jesus was on the earth. This is what it would have looked like. Okay? And as you can see, there are two hoops there. If you could show the second slide, please. That's it in real life. So, before we had tractors, this is what people used. So, you know, up to quite recent times, this is what people used. And two animals would share the load going in the same direction. And what Jesus was saying, and he was trying to use an example that was around them that they would be familiar with, was that he and us go through life together and with his strength and direction. And that's why he talks about my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know, we try and do it on our own, and at times it's really difficult. Just show the last slide, please. That bottom number four. Right, I found this to try and illustrate it. So what you can see there, I hope it's a bit clearer. So you've got the scripture on the top. Well, then you've got a yoke of pride in the top right, left-hand side humility, right-hand side exhaustion, rest and confusion. And what I'm trying to do there is we want to have the yoke where, not resting as in sitting on your bottom on the sofa, that's not what it means. It means rest in the fact that in your life you trust in God. You're relaxed in your life because you know God's got you. And yoke of humility. So those are the two that I would choose in that pile, rest and humility. Those are the two, that you're trusting God with everything. I hope that's explained things a bit better. In the rest of the verse, in that verse 3, it says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. When you're born of the Spirit, you immediately then are part of God's inheritance. When our son was born, we've only got one child, and he's very lucky because when we pop our clogs, he gets everything. So he understands what his inheritance is, okay? He knows that when something happens to us, that he gets the lot, and there's no arguing with another sibling. But what Jesus is talking about here is when Jesus was the sacrifice for all our wrong things, we handed them over to him and asked for his forgiveness. Then we're born into his kingdom at that point, and we move into an inheritance of all the things I was discussing before. the ability, access to go and speak to him, the fact that we can pray to him, the fact that we can trust him, the fact that you can have peace of mind in your circumstances, the fact that you may have mental health issues, but in that still trust God, the fact that you may have physical issues, but in that still trust God. And as we move into that inheritance, the spiritual inheritance, it says the inheritance is uncorruptible and undefiled. This is 1 Peter 1 verse 4. Inheritance is uncorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away and is reserved in heaven for you. So once we make that commitment, that's our place. Don't let anyone tell you that you've not got a place once you've made that commitment. And finally, as I was preparing this for today, this image kind of came to me. I don't know about you, but I use my bank app every day. I check what's going in. I check what's going out. And I have had times in my life, sadly, and I'm sure we all have, where there's been more going out than coming in. That's been a reality. And I'm thankful at the moment that there is enough going in for enough going out. And I'm very grateful for that. But what I want to say this morning, as I sit there and look through my bank app and check the ins and outs, I want to tell you that God wants to do something fresh, a fresh transaction with you. Are your transactions with God enough? I don't know about you, but August is a bad month for me. Everybody in my family seems to be born in August. So I have loads and loads of birthdays, loads of gifts to buy. July and August are pretty tight months for me. And usually I just about keep out my overdraft just in August because I've that many things to buy. But what I want to say this morning is, if I looked at my bank account for other parts of the year, there'd be less transactions. But July and August, there's absolutely loads. What I want to say to you this morning, what are your transactions looking like with God? Are they enough? Some of you, how's your account doing with God? Have you opened one? Have you got an open bank account with God? Have you got a relationship with God? Christian, has your bank account got enough activity? Have you given out more than what you've got back? Is your account with God healthy? Or does it need some overhauling? You listen to Martin Lewis and he tells you all these bargains, don't he? Open this bank account and they'll give you £175. You move everything across and it's like you're going to get £175. And you do. He talks about all these special deals on different bank accounts and how to manage your money. Does God want you to have a fresh account with him? Start afresh. I called this word this morning, are you ready for change? We've just picked on three things that Jesus talked about from his own lips about what he wanted to see in people, how he wanted to see them live. And the meekness, I wanted to go in a bit more detail because it's not talked about very much. But what I want to say to you this morning, is there something that you need to change? Is there something with your relationship with God that you need to change? What are the transactions like? Okay, thank you.